Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. A reminder that voting for the 2007 LinuxQuestions.org Members' Choice Awards is now open. To view the polls, go to www.linuxquestions.org/awards. The next LQ update I have is official participation at LQ. Are you the member of an open source project or an employee of a company that works with open source? If so, would you like that fact to be known at LQ? I'm happy to announce that that is now possible. And what you can do is simply contact me from an associated email account, and I'll give you a custom user title to reflect your official relationship, be it with the company or with the project. This is something we've been doing for quite a long time, I would say 4 or 5 years, with Linux distributions, and I think it makes sense to extend this offer to the entire open source ecosystem. And I think this adds a lot of value, both for you and your company and LQ as a whole. To do this, you can either email me directly at jeremy@linuxquestions.org or use the standard LQ contact form, which goes directly to me. Lastly, I'd like to announce that LQ is a proud sponsor of OSBC, or the Open Source Business Conference. We have been a sponsor of OSBC for a couple years running now, and last year was the first time I was actually able to attend the conference, which was in San Francisco. I have to say I had an absolutely great time. Pretty much anyone from any commercial open source company was there, and it's a conference I highly recommend you attend if you're in the area at the time. And here's a little intro from the OSBC marketing team. Attend the Open Source Business Conference, March 25th and 26th, 2008, at the Palace Hotel in San Francisco, and connect with the best and brightest in the open source community. Engage with your peers in thought-provoking sessions and networking functions, and see the latest vendors on display in the Open Source Showcase. Register today and receive early discount benefits at www.osbc.com. And just a note, I will be attending OSBC again this year, so if you're going to be in the area and would like to connect, do drop me a line. Now, on to the news. The first story I have is Open Source Code Contains Security Holes. And that's the title of a recent Information Week article. Now, I hope this doesn't come as a surprise to anyone. All code contains some amount of bugs, and some of those bugs have the potential to turn into security issues. And here's a snippet from that Information Week article. Quote, "Open source code, much like its commercial counterpart, tends to contain one security exposure for every 1,000 lines of code, according to a program launched by the Department of Homeland Security to review and tighten up open source's code security. Popular open source projects, such as Samba, PHP, Perl, and the Tickle dynamic language, and Amanda, the popular open source backup and recovery software running on 500,000 servers, were all found to have dozens or hundreds of security exposures and quality defects. A total of 7,826 open source project defects have been fixed through the Homeland Security Review, or one every 2 hours since it was launched in 2006, according to David Maxwell, open source strategist for Coverti, maker of the source code checking system, the Prevent software quality system that's being used in this review." End quote. A couple comments here. Looking at the defect rate for some popular open source projects, they are consistently way, way below the average. And here's a couple stats from that report. Samba was found to have a total of 236 defects, which is a far lower rate than average for the 450,000 lines of code involved. And of the 236 defects, 228 have already been corrected. Linux also came in with far fewer defects than average. Just judging on version 2.6 of the kernel, and it didn't specify what minor rev that was, it had a security bug rate of about 0.127 per 1,000 lines of code. Moving on to the Apache web server, which includes 135,916 lines of code, that yielded a defect rate just more than the kernel of 0.14 bugs per 1,000. And the Postgres database, which is 909,148 lines of code, came in way lower than average with a 0.041 defect rate. I think those numbers speak volumes about open source methodology. And while it said the average open source project had a similar defect rate, as you can see here, the popular, well-vetted open source projects are way, way below the averages. as with proprietary software, with open source software, there's going to be good projects and not so good projects. That's just kind of the nature of things. Beyond that, though, is the fact that a study like this can be done in the first place, and I think that's part of the real power of open source. Security defects, and all defects for that matter, aren't hidden and they're not denied and kind of swept under the rug. They're out in the open for everyone to see, and they're actively being fixed. And I think it's pretty proven that security by obscurity is a myth. The next story I have is Apple killing Linux on the desktop? And it does look like some think that OS X may be killing Linux on the desktop. And this is in reference to an article that was on the Apple Matters blog, but it did seem to get fairly widespread coverage. Now, I personally don't think this is the case, but it is an interesting point to explore, I think. It's true that Apple has a much higher percentage of desktop users than Linux does. I don't think that's an arguable point. And that's the case even though Linux grew at a faster rate in the time period that's given in this blog, but keep in mind, it was off a much, much smaller base. In most cases, though, I don't think you can definitively say that if a user didn't go with OS X, that they would have gone with Linux. I don't even think it's close to a one-to-one mapping there. And Apple does, to their credit, a lot of things really well. Marketing is certainly one of them, but they create very slick machines and very slick products in general, I guess, that are very appealing. The fact that most traditional Unix tools work perfectly on OS X is huge. Now, kind of a counterpoint here, I do think that the "they just work" quote-unquote part of the Apple marketing message is a bit overblown, but I think it is certainly a better out-of-the-box experience than most Linux distributions, which from a multimedia and desktop perspective, most of them, and there are a few shining exceptions here, just aren't that great. Now, that being said, many of the things that make that out-of-the-box experience even possible are the reasons that people really like Linux. If you want OS X, you have to purchase an Apple. And the lock-in involved with Apple, and the Apple experience, if you will, these days, is actually, in my opinion, much worse than the lock-in involved with Microsoft. So, if you want a Unix-like OS with a shiny GUI, then OS X probably is for you. But if freedom is a component of what you're looking for, Apple is almost certainly not for you. Now, don't take that to mean that I don't like Apple. I think they're doing some really cool things. And add into that the fact that they are sometimes open source friendly, and they are, I think, creating real choice in the mass desktop OS market. But I do think that people are getting increasingly frustrated with Apple policies and practices, and the evidence here is not hard to find at all. If you look around for the opinion of kind of Apple customer service and Apple general policies over, say, the last 6 months to even a year, you'll find that people are increasingly very, very frustrated, and some of their policies are just very, very bad. And you can see my blog for an example of a policy that I personally didn't like. But Apple really has little incentive to have pro-customer practices. If you want an iPod, if you want an iPhone, if you want OS X, you don't have any choice. It's Apple or it's nothing. Or if you want Linux, you can get hardware from any vendor you want. You can get the software from a ton of different vendors. So the real choice, I think, fosters a different kind of competition that Apple just doesn't get. Beyond all this, and back to the point of the actual article, in the end, I'd still contend that more OS X sales are a good thing for Linux, not a bad thing. And why that is, and a major reason, is that it gets people used to not using Windows. It introduces them to a Unix-based OS. It opens doors that I think at this point in the game would be difficult for Linux just to open. And once that Windows monopoly is broken, it will be easier for all alternative operating systems, not just Linux, to get a fair look. And I welcome that day. The last story I have, and one that I saved the majority of the time for, is Sun acquires MySQL. Sun made what I think is a huge announcement yesterday, and that is that they're acquiring MySQL AB for roughly $1 billion, and it ended up being about $800 million in cash, and then they're going to assume about $200 million in options. First, I'm going to read you a quote from Jonathan Schwartz, who is the CEO of Sun, its blog. Quote, "But the biggest news of the day is, we're putting $1 billion behind the M in LAMP. If you're an industry insider, you'll know what this means. We're acquiring MySQL AB, the company behind MySQL, the world's most popular open source database." You'll recall I wrote about a customer event a few weeks ago at which some of the world's most important web companies talk to us about their technology challenges. Simultaneously, we gathered together some of the largest IT shops and their CIOs and spent the same 2 days in adjoining rooms listening to their views and their directions. Both sets of customers confirmed what we've known for years, that MySQL is by far the most popular platform on which modern developers are creating network services. From Facebook, Google, and Cena.com to banks and telecommunication companies, architects looking for performance, productivity, and innovation have turned to MySQL. In high schools and college campuses, at startups, at high-performance computing labs, and in the Global 2000, the adoption of MySQL across the globe is nothing short of breathtaking. They are the rootstock from which an enormous portion of the web economy springs. But as I pointed out, we heard some paradoxical things too. CTOs at startups and web companies disallow the uses of products that aren't free and open source. They need and want access to source code to enable optimizations and rapid problem resolution, although they're happy to pay for support if they see value. Alternatively, more traditional CIOs disallow the usage of products that aren't backed by commercial support relationships. They're more comfortable relying on vendors like Sun to manage global, mission-critical infrastructure. That puts products like MySQL in an interesting position. They're a part of every web company's infrastructure, to be sure. And though many of the more traditional companies use MySQL, from auto companies to financial institutions to banks and retailers, many have been waiting for a Fortune 500 vendor willing to step up to provide mission-critical global support. End quote. So as part of this acquisition, in addition to the current MySQL offerings, Sun is unveiling some new global support offerings is what they're calling it. But this has huge implications, not only just for Sun and MySQL, but for open source in general. MySQL AB was one of the hottest commercial open source companies. Almost everyone thought they were headed for a 2008 IPO. Sun was already one of the largest contributors to open source in the world, but this puts them at the epicenter of the LAMP stack. So how this will impact their on-again, off-again relationship with Linux remains to be seen. As you can imagine, the blogosphere is just buzzing due to this announcement. I'm of course still digesting the news and doing as much research as I can, but I don't think the real implications of this will be fully known for quite some time. First, though, I'd like to congratulate the entire MySQL AB team. Mani and David have built not only a wonderful product, but a fantastic company, and this is absolutely well-deserved. And Martin has just been an exemplary open-source CEO. Congratulations should also go to Sun. They continue to prove their dedication and understanding of open-source, and this is a fantastic pickup for them, and I think that it could be a great fit. Now, as I mentioned, I'm doing quite a bit of research and kind of digesting this. And here's some of the interesting items that I've run across. This is by no means comprehensive. And if you head over to my blog, I have a bunch of additional links. But here are a couple of the key ones, I think. First, other open source database participants have been quite positive about the news. Josh Berkus, for example, who's a member of the Postgres core team and also a Sun employee. And keep in mind, a lot of people said, oh, this is Sun's kind of first entrance into the database market. They've had a Postgres professional services arm for quite some time now. But Josh was quick to welcome Brian Aker and the entire MySQL team aboard. And you can also see positive comments from Andy Astor, who's the CEO of EnterpriseDB. And this is, in general, just friendlier stuff than you typically see in the proprietary world. And I think that's a function, one, of open source just kind of being different, and while it fosters innovation and competition, there's more of a camaraderie with open source developers, I think, than with proprietary ones. But I think it's also just a function of us being pretty early on the adoption curve, where a rising tide is seen as lifting all boats. Here's a quick snippet from a post on Matt Acey's blog. Quote, guess how long the entire process, beginning to end, took? 5 weeks. From the first phone call to today's announcement, the deal took 5 weeks. End quote. Now, that time frame is absolutely astounding to me. With a company the size of Sun, getting a simple partnership deal usually takes way, way longer than 5 weeks. So to have an acquisition of this size, you know, a $1 billion plus acquisition pulled off, and keep in mind that Sun spent about 36% of its cash on this deal, it's just a testament to how bad they wanted the deal done, I think. Now, another big acquisition was announced on the same day, and that's Oracle's finally closing its acquisition of BEA. And here's a quick comparison of that BEA deal by Savio, who works for IBM. Quote, "First of all, kudos to Sun for valuing MySQL at this price. But considering how cheap debt is these days, Sun could probably fund a portion of this deal through cheap debt." A reader commented on BEA and MySQL being founded in the same year, but BEA being sold for 8 times more than MySQL. True, but BEA has about $1.5 billion in revenue versus about $60 million for MySQL. When you take revenue into account, MySQL secured 3 times more in acquisition price for every dollar of revenue than did BEA. OSS vendors must be sleeping with dollar signs in their eyes tonight. End quote. If you head over to Stephen O'Grady's blog, he has his usual Q&A style post, and I'm just going to pick one of those out. Quote, question, so does this make this the we are the dot and dot com the sequel? Will the commensurate crash follow? Answer, some would contend that's the case, yes, particularly a couple of members of the media I've spoken with. And of course, it's possible that the model propping up Google's immense valuation and those similar to it will prove to be similarly illusory. But somehow, I doubt it. The fact is that the Googles of the world have made real what Sun itself could not, a network that is, in fact, the computer. And the Googles of the world, far more often than not, run on MySQL. Via this single acquisition, Sun's made itself a relevant vendor in a space that very few, if any, of the larger commercial system suppliers can play in. Whether you agree with the valuation or not, YouTube sold for $1.6 billion and consumed virtually no software from any of the major vendors. If that acquisition was to take place today, they would have been buying from Sun. End quote. Now, while I am seeing many positives on this, not everyone is seeing this as a positive. J. Cole, for instance, worries about the large company syndrome, which is something I've experienced and something that you do have to take into account as well. MySQL has, a pretty unique culture in the way that its employees are spread out everywhere. So how that will be impacted and just how a lot of the cultures of a smaller company will be impacted, of course, remains to be seen. And another negative, for example, Ben Rockwood, who's very active in the Open Solaris community, kind of wishes that Sun would focus more on their core, which is quite understandable. And I think Sun's poor history with acquisitions seems to come up quite a bit and is one of the biggest question marks. But you have to keep in mind that I don't think any of those, or very few of them at least, were under Jonathan. So how that will change with new leadership also remains to be seen. And a couple of just shorter additional comments. Looking at Brian's blog, it seems like the MySQL founders are happy with this deal, which I think is important and a very good thing. Who this impacts and who else could have pulled off an acquisition seems to be a very popular question. I'd say the answer to the latter is really a fairly small list. You know, Oracle, Red Hat, IBM, maybe Google or Yahoo. Who it impacts, however, remains to be seen, but I think the implications here are going to be extremely far-reaching. Now, that Yahoo or Google kind of possibility that I just mentioned brings me to an angle that I haven't seen much commentary on. I would expect Sun to offer some kind of MySQL in the cloud type service that could be one component of a service offering that competes with Amazon and their S3, EC2, SimpleDB offering. That could be really interesting, and I'd expect to see some more commentary on that as this unfolds. Next, it's clear, and Jonathan said it, Sun has made a significant investment in the M from LAMP. I continue to question, however, how they feel about the L in LAMP. And this seems to be a sticking point, as you would expect with quite a few people here. You know, will MySQL focus less on Linux, which leads both MySQL sales and MySQL downloads by far, from what I understand, Windows is second with Solaris third. And so will they focus more on Solaris? Will Sun push Solaris when selling MySQL? And there's obviously more questions than answers on this one so early. So we'll kind of have to wait and see on that one. And lastly, I'd expect a couple longtime MySQL employees, and I'm not talking about anyone in specific here, just generally speaking, to kind of cash out after this and quickly found some really interesting startups based on what they did at MySQL. Well, that's all I have on the topic for now. I would definitely anticipate that this is something that's going to be getting, you know, some extended ongoing coverage as the deal closes and as we get more details. So do stay tuned for that. That's all I have for now, but thanks for listening.